Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. We'll begin reading in verse 15 in just a moment. It is my hope and my desire that you will take a Bible out if you've brought one with you. If not, there should be one within arm's reach there in the pew. And I hope that you'll take a Bible out with me and follow along with the passages that we're going to read. Because the topic that we're going to discuss today, I think, is very important, especially as we begin to enter into the summer months. Some things that we need to understand about God's word and how he would have us live our life. Begin reading with me in Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 15, and we'll go down through verse 17. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Paul tells us to be careful in the way that we walk. He tells us we need to take care with how we walk. Have you ever felt the pain of stepping on a Lego when you're barefoot and the lights are off? If you've ever felt that pain, the pain shoots through your leg like none other I've ever felt. When I was little, I would rarely clean up the Legos in my room. And so what I would do is before I would go to bed, I would create a path of Legos. And I would walk through the path of Legos as I made my way to my bed. That way, when I turned off the light, it was always much easier to get from point A to point B without hurting anything. But at any rate, once the lights were off, I had to walk extremely carefully. I had to tiptoe, essentially, to get into bed. And I think that this is much the same thing that Paul is talking about. He's not talking about Legos, but he's talking about the walk of life. He's talking about the way that we live our life. Do we take care in the way that we walk? Are we being careful in the way that we walk? Throughout this lesson, you'll probably hear me make mention of young people a lot. And I'm not aiming this specifically at young people, but I do think it applies a lot to young people in today's day and age. Young people especially need to be careful in how they live. Young people are often associated with the idea of carelessness. And unfortunately, I think that is often true. I think that young people are often careless. Well, Paul says there in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 17, to act carelessly, to walk through your daily life without care, is to walk as a fool. It is to be one who is foolish. The lesson that I'm going to present to you this evening has to do with being careful in specifically the way that we dress, in what we wear. Are we taking care? Are we walking carefully in the way that we dress as Christians and as men and women of God? How much do we think about the clothes that we wear? Does it really matter what we wear? Does it matter when we wake up and when we go to our closet? Does it really matter what we wear? Does it just matter that we put some amount of clothes on? Well, this evening I want to notice three quick things with you. And the first of those things is that clothes affect the way that you look at people, whether you know it or not, whether you like it or not. The clothes that another individual wears affects the way that you look at them. You know, you can tell a lot about somebody by the clothes that they wear. Clothes tell us what kind of job someone has. Have you ever thought about when you see someone maybe walking through a store or you run into someone out and about and he's wearing a suit and a tie? Well, you automatically start to think, well, maybe he's a businessman. Maybe he's some type of lawyer or maybe even a preacher of some kind. Maybe he holds some sort of office job that requires him to wear these clothes. Maybe you see someone walking around wearing scrubs. Well, that man's obviously a doctor, or he's a nurse, or he works in the medical field in some area. Maybe you see someone wearing a hard hat and an orange vest. Certainly that person works in construction. We can tell certain things about people based on the clothes that they wear. And in addition to simply maybe what their occupation is, clothes can tell us whether someone cares or not. Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever seen someone walking around Walmart wearing pajama bottoms? Well, they're probably wearing those because they don't care too much about where they are. They're not trying to make a very good impression. Now, you put that same person in a situation where they're in a job interview. Well, what changes? Their clothes change. All of a sudden, they're wearing nice slacks or they're wearing a nice dress. They dress to impress because we know things about people based on what they wear. I think the Bible recognizes this point as well. Turn back with me to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 41. You may recall that in Genesis chapter 41 and the surrounding chapters, we are reading about the story of Joseph. And you remember that Joseph, he had a few dreams that his brothers didn't really care for too much. And you remember that his brothers ended up throwing him in a pit and ended up selling him into slavery. Well, he wound up in the house of a man named Potiphar before being falsely accused and found himself eventually in prison. Well, you remember, as the story goes, that Joseph eventually interpreted a couple dreams. Word got to Pharaoh. Pharaoh had a dream that he wanted to be interpreted. And he found out about this man named Joseph who could interpret these dreams. But I want you to notice what it says in Genesis chapter 41 and verse 14 concerning Joseph. It says that, and this is right after Joseph he's in the prison. It says that Pharaoh sent and called for Joseph, and they hurriedly brought him out of the dungeon. And when he had shaved himself and changed his clothes, then he came to Pharaoh. Did you notice What Joseph had to change before he came before Pharaoh? He changed his clothes. Now, why is that? Why did Joseph change his clothes? Because he understood that clothes affect the way that people looked at him. Pharaoh would look at him differently if he had certain attire on. I think we see a similar thing over in Matthew chapter 22. If you'll go over to the Gospel of Matthew with me. Matthew chapter 22. And notice the parable that Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 22. And we're going to pick up in verses 11 down through verse 14. He says, "But when the king came in to look over the dinner guests, he saw there a man who was not dressed in wedding clothes." Now, you'll recall that the parable that Jesus has just told is one of the king who invited certain people to a wedding feast. And of course, the rich and the nobles and people like that turned him down. And so he said, "Go out onto the streets and invite anyone." Well, he comes in and he sees that there's one who is not dressed in wedding clothes. Now, pick up there in verse 12. And he said to him, "Friend, how did you come in here without wedding clothes?" And the man was speechless. Then the king said to the servant, "Bind him hand and foot and throw him into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." See, Jesus recognized that if we're going to be coming to the kingdom of God, we've got to prepare ourselves. That's what he's talking about in this parable. And I think in this parable, you could probably make the analogy of putting on Christ and wearing Christ. Those would be the wedding garments in this parable. But isn't it interesting that he uses clothes? Why does he use clothes? Because clothes tell people about who we are. Clothes indicate to others, those around us, who we are, what we think, what we do, whether we care or not. I think the principle in Matthew chapter 15 is certainly fitting in this context. Look in Matthew chapter 15. And I want you to read with me verses 16 down through 18. Jesus said, "Are you still lacking in understanding also? Do you not understand that everything that goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is eliminated? But the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and those defile the man." What's the principle that Jesus lays down for us? What is it that Jesus says? What is it that Jesus wants us to understand? Well, I think he's trying to get us to understand that outward actions, those things that come out, as he would say, out of the mouth, and I think we can make application there to our actions in general, those things that come out in our outward person, reflect those things that are on the inside. They reflect our thoughts. They reflect who we are. And I think this principle is especially true when it comes to our clothing. The clothes that you choose to wear when you go to your closet every morning, those outward actions, those clothes, reflect your thoughts. They reflect inward. You know, and I think an example of this is, you know, if I wear a suit to an interview, but I come to church maybe in something that is similar to what I'd wear to a ball game or something like that, what does that show my priorities? Where are my priorities? What does that show that my thoughts are about where I am? What is more important to me? Clothes certainly affect the way that we look at people. And I think that's an important point that we need to understand, whether we like it or not. Clothes can tell you who I am. Clothes can tell you to some degree what is in my heart, what I think and what I feel. And I think we can see biblical examples of this. Now, if other people's clothes could affect the way we look at them, then I think that these next two points follow accurately. The second thing I'd like to point out to you is that clothes affect the way that people look at you. And I think this is something that is incredibly important for us to understand. First of all, I would suggest that clothes affect our influence, the influence that we can have over others. Look in Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 13. Jesus teaches us that all Christians are to have an influence. They are to exert an influence and be an example to the world around them. Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 13, he says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Christians are expected to exert an influence. Christians are expected to be an example, to show forth their godly lifestyle to those around them. And certainly this has application to the clothes that we wear on a daily basis. Turn over with me, if you will, to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. I think Paul makes an important point for the young people here to keep in mind. And I'm including myself in this category. And I try and remember this on a daily basis. I think young people tend to think, well, that command to be an example doesn't really apply to me yet, because I'm not on my own. I'm still under the authority of my parents. So I don't have to be a good example yet. I'll wait till I'm a little bit older to do that. Well, where does Paul write to the young preacher Timothy? In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12, he says, "Let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself an example of those who believe." Young people need to be examples. Young people have the same responsibility as any Christian ever, to be an example to those around them. Whether we like it or not, whether we want it to be this way or not, people look at you. People see you. They are watching us. The question that we have to ask is, what do they see when they look at us? Do they see someone who is consistent with the clothes they wear? Or do they see someone who has different guidelines when it comes to different places? Maybe it's okay to wear something a little bit less than what I normally would wear if I'm at a pool or if I'm at a gym. Is that what they see, that inconsistency? Do they see concern for God's will when it comes to modesty? Or do they see concern for what is in style and what is fashionable and what is comfortable? People will notice these things when they look at you. People will see the decisions that you make on a daily basis, and they will see them. Your clothes will either help harm your influence, or it will help grow your influence with others. Clothes affect the way people look at us, not only when it comes to our influence, but as well, clothes can promote or discourage lust in those around us. Look over in Matthew chapter 5 one more time. Matthew chapter 5. And this time we're going to skip down and read verse 27 through 30. Jesus says, "You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye makes you stumble, tear it out and throw it from you. For it is better for you to lose one of the parts of your body than for your whole body to be cast into hell. If your right hand makes you stumble, cut it off and throw it away from you. For it is better for you to lose one of the parts of your body than for your whole body to go into hell." Jesus makes it abundantly clear that unlawful desire, lusting unlawfully, is wrong. That is a sin worthy of punishment in hell. Now, we will find in other scriptures that there is a lawful desiring that can take place within the marriage relationship. But that is the only place where that lawful desiring can be. And I think it's important to point out here when we look at Matthew chapter 5. These words are just as applicable to men as they are to women. You know, guys, do you turn around when you're outside to admire someone's short skirt or short shorts or their low-cut shirt? Girls, do you go to a movie just to see someone rip their shirt off? Just to see a guy rip their shirt off? This is unlawful desiring. This is desiring something that is not rightfully yours to have. Turn with me now a few chapters over to Matthew chapter 18. I think what we'll see in these next few verses is knowing that it is wrong to lust unlawfully, knowing that it is wrong to have those desires for things that are not yours rightfully, that to encourage that sin is equally wrong. Look at what we read in Matthew chapter 18, beginning in verse 6. Here again are the words of Jesus. He says, "But whoever causes one of these little ones, who believe in me to stumble, it would be better for him to have a heavy millstone hung around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe to the world because of its stumbling blocks, for it is inevitable that stumbling blocks come, but woe to that man through whom the stumbling blocks come." Jesus made it very clear that causing sin in a brother's brother or sister's life is extremely serious. It doesn't simply become a matter of, well, they should control their own thoughts. They should control their own mind. Certainly that is something that we all need to strive to work forward to being able to control our thoughts and our minds. But Jesus makes it abundantly clear that causing someone to fall into sin, being that stumbling block before them, is a serious offense. Look over to the book of 1 Corinthians, and I think we'll see an example of Paul and how seriously he took this. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. And we'll first read verses 9 through 13 of 1 Corinthians 8. Paul says, "But take care that this liberty of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. For if someone sees you who have knowledge dining in an idol's temple, will not his conscience, if he is weak, be strengthened to eat things sacrificed to idols? For through your knowledge, he who is weak is ruined, the brother for whose sake Christ died. And so by sinning against your brethren and wounding their conscience when it is weak, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if food causes my brother to stumble, I will never eat meat again, so that I will not cause my brother to stumble." Do you see how serious Paul takes this? How extreme, the extreme measures he's going to go to keep from entrapping his brethren into sin? He says, "I will never do that again if that's what causes him to sin. Christ died for him. He deserves salvation." It is God's grace. But he has the ability to be saved because Christ has sacrificed himself. "I'm not going to stand between that. I will never eat meat again," Paul says. Look down there again in chapter 9 this time, as Paul continues the same discussion with the Corinthians. Down in verse 19. Paul says, "For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a slave to all, so that I may win more. To the Jews I became as a Jew, so that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, though not being myself under the law, so that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law, though not being without the law of God, but under the law of Christ, so that I might win those who are without law. To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that I may by all means save some. I do all things for the sake of the gospel, so that I may become a fellow partaker of it." Paul gave up his freedom. Any freedom that Paul had that would stand between a soul and the gospel, Paul gave it up. Why? For the purpose of spreading the gospel. For the purpose of saving souls. He says he's become all things to all men. Why? So that I may by all means save some. Can we truly say that in the way that we dress, we do all things for the sake of the gospel? Do we encourage others to live lives pleasing to God by the things that we put on when we wake up in the morning? Paul was willing to give up any freedom that he had in order to serve others. Well, have you considered how your clothes affect people around you? You have an obligation to be a light to the world. Now, clothes can make or break that influence. They can make people listen to you, or they can make people turn away and say, "That's nothing. That's nothing I want a part of. He's not a true Christian." We have an obligation to guard against lust. Are we helping those around us, or are we hurting them? The third and final thing that I'd like to point out to you this evening is that clothes affect the way that God looks at you. Clothes can either be conformed to or they can be opposed to God's will. Turn over to the book of 1 Timothy. First Timothy chapter 2. And I want you to notice what Paul writes Timothy as he's instructing him what to instruct others. Paul writes in 1 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse 9, "Likewise, I want women to adorn themselves with proper clothing, modestly and discreetly, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly garments, but rather by means of good works, as is proper for women making a claim to godliness." Now there, Paul instructs Timothy to teach those who he teaches to wear proper clothes, to dress in a certain way, to dress modestly. Now, I want to take you to one other passage and then make a point from these two verses. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, look over to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Rather, 2 Timothy chapter 3, I'm sorry. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 says, "All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work." Some of your other translations may read, "so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped." The Word of God thoroughly equips us. Now, I've heard people make the statement, "Well, God wants me to dress modestly. He wants me to dress properly. But he's never told me how to dress. He's never instructed me the clothes to wear." Well, if these two statements that we just read are true, that God instructs us to dress modestly in 1 Timothy chapter 2, and that the Word of God thoroughly equips us in 2 Timothy chapter 3, then how can that be? No, God has instructed us how we ought to live our life. He's given us everything that we need to live godly lives in His service. If clothing can be appropriate, if clothing can be inappropriate in God's eyes, then I believe that the next point follows, and that is that clothes can affect your eternal destiny. Look over to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. And I want you to listen to the chilling words of our Lord and Master as he begins speaking in verse 21. Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" Are we doing the will of the Lord? He has instructed us how to live our life. He has instructed us to wear proper clothing, to wear modest attire. He has thoroughly equipped us. Are we doing His will? Are we understanding what the will of the Lord is? Jesus points out that many people are going to claim on that final day of judgment that Jesus is their Lord. They're going to call Him Lord, Lord. They're going to say, "You were our master. We were living the life that you had us to live." But in reality, they were acting as their own master. They were living a life that was entirely contrary to God's will. They were not submitting themselves to what He has instructed. If our clothes fail to meet the requirements of God, we will be found lacking on the day of judgment. That's a sobering thought, but I think it's one that we need to understand. Have you considered that God notices your clothes? Not only do those around you see them, but God sees what you wear. He has instructed us how to dress, and if we do not do His will, we will be lost. We need to be very careful with the clothes that we choose to wear. We know that clothes affect how we see others. What we need to come to understand is that our clothes affect the way that people look at us, and that our clothes affect the way that God looks at us. Now, before we end this lesson, I want to make some observations. Now, from the Bible, I want to make some biblical observations that I think may help us decide what is appropriate and what is inappropriate to wear. The first place I'd like to take you is back to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, and we're going to read an account that takes place after Adam and Eve had sinned. I think one of the most important questions that we can ask when discussing what we ought to wear, what the clothes of a Christian should look like, is what is the purpose of clothes? Why do we wear clothes? Well, I think first and foremost, the purpose of clothes is to cover our nakedness. Look with me in Genesis chapter 3, and we're going to begin reading in verses 6 and 7. This is after Adam and Eve had eaten of the tree, or rather after Eve had eaten. It says, "When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that there was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate, and she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings." Now, when Adam and Eve recognized that they were uncovered, that they were unclothed, what was it? What was their immediate reaction? "We need to cover up. We need to cover our nakedness." But notice what happens again down in verse 21. It says, "The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and Eve, and he clothed them." See, God saw that man needed to be covered. He saw that their nakedness needed to be covered. Now, when you wake up in the morning and you go to your closet and you look for clothes to wear that day, when you go shopping at whatever store it is that you like to shop at, and you're looking through the racks at the various options of clothing, do not select your wardrobe based on style. Do not select your wardrobe based on comfort. But first and foremost, we have an obligation with the clothes that we wear to cover our nakedness. That is the purpose of clothes. The second observation I'd like to point out to you is that you can have clothes on and still be naked. You ever thought about that? There are clothes that you can wear that do not adequately cover your nakedness. Look there again in Genesis chapter 3, the verses that we already read. You'll remember that in verse 7, the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings. Man tried to cover himself. Man tried to cover his nakedness, but as we read again in verse 21, what did God have to do? They weren't adequately clothed. He had to cover them further, to cover their nakedness. What they had attempted to do was not enough. Just because you're wearing clothes does not mean that you are covered. Girls, there are certain clothes that you can wear that do not adequately cover you. The same is true with guys. Just wearing a pair of pants does not cover a guy. We need to understand that we can be wearing clothes and yet be still naked. And then the final point that I'd like to draw out, the final observation, is that nakedness is shameful. I hope you'll turn over to the book of Revelation with me. Revelation chapter 3. Nakedness is shameful. You remember that Adam and Eve, it was after they created the loin coverings. You remember that God came and they knew that God was coming. What did they do? They hid themselves. And the text tells us that it is because they knew that they were naked. But read in Revelation chapter 3 with me, beginning in verse 17. "Because you say, 'I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing,' and you do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may become rich, and white garments so that you may clothe yourself, and that the shame of your nakedness will not be revealed, and eye salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see." The church here that Christ addresses was in a city, Laodicea, that was a very wealthy city. They were very well off. In fact, I'm told that they were known for the clothes that they made. But when Christ looked at them, at their hearts, he said, "You're not clothed. You think you're clothed because you make all these fancy clothes, but you're not clothed." He said, "No, you're naked." And in the minds of the first century hearers, in the minds of those who would be reading this, that was an indication of shame. They recognize that this was Christ saying, you are ashamed. You should be ashamed of the way that you're living your life. Nakedness is shameful. And brethren, I think that we live in a nation of people, a culture that needs to buy clothes. We need to cover ourselves. We need to not only buy clothes in a physical sense, but especially as Christ would write here to the Laodiceans, we need to buy white garments from him. We need to buy spiritual clothes and clothe ourselves with Christ. And when we clothe ourselves with Christ, when we engulf ourselves in the Word of God, then we will dress according to his will. And we will glorify him by the clothes that we choose to wear. You decide what you wear every morning. You wake up, you go to the closet, and you pick out clothes. Understand that people will see the clothes that you wear on a day-to-day basis. And it will either make or break your influence. It will either cause or it will guard against lust. But also recognize that God sees the clothes that you wear. And if you're not careful, if you do not conform your life to his will, it could cost you eternity. So glorify God by the things that you wear. Glorify God by the choices that you make. Walk carefully. Be careful in how you conduct yourself when you go out into the world. If you found yourself today needing Christ, if you found yourself in a situation where you found yourself that you have not bought proper garments from Christ, you have not clothed yourself in Christ by entering obedience, entering into his body through obedience by baptism. And you need to make that change today. Clothe yourself with Christ this night. If there's anything that we can do for you this day, we ask that you come forward at this time as we stand and as we sing this song of encouragement.